Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. All right. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. Thursday evening program on the Elevated Places Network is Ask Minister Ava with myself, Sister Ava Muhammad, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Our executive producer is Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor is Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And I always have to say that despite this wonderful, brilliant array of team members, without you, the callers, and you, those who listen in, via blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, then this program would not happen. Because at the core of this program is the idea of exposing our thoughts and exchanging our thoughts and coming away with the very best perspectives and the right perception of reality. It's not about one person's opinion being correct over another. It's the idea of all of us sharing our thinking. And, of course, the pinnacle of this weekly program has been our guest, who always are brilliant, insightful, activists. They're not just people who are academic, though many have an academic background, but these are people who are deeply involved in the rise of the black man and woman here in America. And some of our guests are already known, most of them are known, far beyond the boundaries of tonight's program. And one of our favorite guests, who the listeners love hearing from, unfortunately, the subject tonight is not one that we want to even have to address, but we must. And that, of course, is in a very short span of time since the horrific murders of black people in Buffalo, New York, who were out trying to shop for groceries. And now we have the murder of 19 elementary school students and two teachers in Texas. And I can't think of a better person to help us cope with this and share insight into this than the guest that we have on tonight. But before we do that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to our dear brother, Brother Terrence Muhammad. and he will take us further in the program. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, and we are honored once again to be here, to be live and direct as we are, you know, getting ready to go into this, as we say, Memorial Weekend. And, you know, this Memorial Weekend is very, very, very significant. Want to give big ups, shout out, and much prayers for my boy, Brother Amir, who works with me on the national training staff, our annual national training. But we want to lift up my brother Amir and the rest of his family, as we have lost a soldier, our brother, student captain, Brother Shahid. And, you know, we lost one. The West Coast has lost a Pitler in that state, and we are forever thankful. His janaza is this Saturday morning, and the repast is in Compton. But we just know that that brother has always been seen traveling with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as they say, with Captain Dennis and Sharif and all of them, Brother Curtis, the F team. You know, he was a part of that line and that crew. And, you know, brothers have always said that was a real one. That right there was a real soldier. So we miss our brother, and we will miss one of the soldiers. And we remember all of the fallen soldiers. And I know people want us to think about America and the armed forces, but, hey, we are the army of God. And all of those pioneers prior to 75 that paved the way, that sold the paper, that shared a word, or that was just there in those days in that first battle of educating of our own children. Those pioneers, those ones that, you know, we have that are now gone, we are just forever grateful as we go into this, Memorial Weekend. So, yeah, so we have to remember those, we shall remember those and lift them up as we continue to hear the voice and the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that light in a dark time, in a dark hour. We've heard 2020 on the unraveling of a great nation, Savior's Day 2020, and then the criterion July 4th, 2020, and then, of course, this past Savior's Day, the swan song. And we need to continue to hear not only from the Ramadan prayer lines on his birth anniversary, the minister and WVON, the minister has not stopped feeding us. And I have to say that, because when those that will come out and say, where is the minister? The minister has always been here, and he's already given us what we need, guidance and instructions on what to do in the hour that we are living in. So we are just continuously thankful and grateful to God for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we want to have everyone to continue to hear him. Come back also, join us on Friday night, study.noi.org, study.noi.org for our self-improvement study on Fridays at 7:30 and Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at noi.org, and Wednesdays at 7:30. But we also want you to continue to go to ministerava.com, and please support our sister. Please support ministerava.com. And, of course, just recently, a couple of days ago, Dr. Ava, or matter of fact, was it yesterday that we remember the two-year anniversary of our fallen brother, George Floyd. And, you know, we want to lift him up. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we look back, what has happened, what has transpired, what has been done in the wake of George Floyd. And it's interesting, as some conversations I'm having with major corporations and different people, you know, I always reference George Floyd, because now everybody wants to talk about racism and have an anti-racism lens and inclusion and diversity. You know, all of the major folks up here are trying to have these conversations, which is interesting. And also just the window recovering, because, you know, we're still seeing more and more of our people being killed. As I was going to go into, our sister Tamika Mallory posted today that, you know, she wanted to share some thoughts on social media about Buffalo, but she said in her trying to share thoughts about Buffalo, two people today got shot and killed in Brooklyn. And she said in her thoughts today, trying to talk about Buffalo, Miss Garcia, one of the teachers that was murdered in Texas, her husband had a fatal heart attack. And has died. And it makes me think about what happens when you lose someone so close to you, you know, that you physically feel that, and it takes a toll on you. So, you know, we must cherish the loved ones that we have in our midst and hold on when we lose someone closer. When someone is taken out of our life and we lose someone precious, that's why the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are so needed to help soothe us during these dark hours. And she said all that as she was writing this post, while she was just steps away from where the elders of Buffalo were killed, as Until Freedom was giving out different supplies to the community, food, fresh fruit, Pampers, and different things that were needed in the community this week. So, you know, that's a lot to say, Dr. Ava. That's a lot going on that we you know, that we can discuss. And also, whatever you all do, and we're going to say this early, when Juneteenth comes, do not be going to Walmart and buying no Walmart ice cream for Juneteenth. We do not want you getting no Juneteenth Walmart ice cream. And it's interesting, Dr. Ava, just like Kwanzaa was going to get co-opted, and it did, now Juneteenth is getting co-opted. You're going to see white people in dashikis or African garb celebrating Juneteenth. So if we don't control our own, and we don't buy black, support black, you know, they will take over what we think we own, because we don't take ownership what is ours. So we got a lot to discuss tonight, Dr. Ava, and we're ready to go ahead and get into this discussion, because we know the whole country is, well, not literally the whole country, the whole world is talking about what our discussion is on tonight. People are in congressional offices having these conversations, and locally, people are using this for their own platforms and their own things. And I hear Trump is going to be, he was somewhere speaking, and the Secret Service said, we're not going to let the NRA have their weapons. So there's a lot of different conversations going on, but we're going to have a good conversation tonight. We're going to have the elevated conversations here on the Elevated Places Network with you as Dr. Ava. And back to you, Dr. Ava. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Terrence. And as we go into the next segment of our program, before we get into tonight's discussion on what took place in Texas and the state of America and why separation is the best and only solution, I just want to say this about my brother, Brother Shaheed. My husband, Brother Darius, and they got along famously, and Darius had been trying to reach him the last week or so by phone. Both of them are hardcore, and in this time of unsound doctrine and strange doctrine and all kinds of ideologies creeping in our faith community. It is so wonderful to have had among us what I view as the, you know, the traditional, the quintessential FOI, you know, Farrakhan, right. You know, ride or die with Farrakhan, okay? Ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you had a problem with Minister Farrakhan, you had a serious problem with Brother Shaheed Muhammad. Yeah. And someone, I don't know, it may have been his beloved wife, Sister Tiffany, or one of the family, sent me this morning from his phone the announcement of the celebration of life and the janaza that will be taking place in Los Angeles on Saturday. And because it came from his phone, not too far above it was a text that he sent me last Mother's Day, May 9th of 2021. And it had in all caps, Happy Mother's Day, Queen. This is Brother Shahid, L.A. And I thanked him and sent one of those little emoji hearts. But that's the type of brother he was, you know. And
that's right.
This is unexpected. This is devastating. And our prayers go out to Sister Attorney Tiffany, who is close friends with our beloved sister, Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who I'm going to turn the mic over to right now for any words she wishes to say, as well as her commentary tonight on the law. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava and Brother Terrence, and also to the Elevated Places listeners and team. You know, thank you for the opportunity to have a couple words as, you know, tonight. And as you said, our brother Shahid, you know, love him, his family. And I just wanted to share that last time I spoke with Brother Shahid, and, you know, as you say, Sister Tiffany's my friend, and she and I were talking, and he said, tell Sister Pam to go to Juma prayer. It was Friday. You know, it was like a conference call. And, you know, I happened to be able to go. I was like, yes, I need to. And so was the reminders, you know, to go to prayer. And I listened, and it was a beautiful service with a Zoom call or, you know, free conference call kind of prayer service. And he was always promoting unity. So, yes, I was privileged to get to know, you know, Brother Shahid, and my prayers as well to his family, and of course our dear Sister Tiffany Muhammad, who graduated from the Thurgood Marshall School of Law down here in Houston. So that's, you know, where we got to meet her. Yes, ma'am. So
yeah, praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praise are due to Allah. I wanted to just report briefly on a article, so very interesting. There's this article in the May 31st Final Call entitled The Tools of Colonialism and Genocide, and I think it's so important because it focuses on the atrocities that were inflicted on indigenous people at what they call federal Indian boarding schools. It's very, very similar to what we are seeing here in the black community, what they're experiencing at the border regarding the U.S. government's atrocities that are being inflicted on people, brown people, the black people, the original people and their children. And so in this article, written contributing writer Brother William Muhammad, you know, they talk about issued by the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs, and they documented this devastating blow of what they call forced assimilation between the years 1819 to 1969 that were suffered by indigenous civilizations. And they call it that, you know, talks about how they dismantled and destroyed through colonization. And this article even quotes how the President George Washington, they go all the way back, how they talk about replacing the Indians' culture with the American culture was at the root of this. So they focused the report that was issued by this, I think it's the Secretary of Interior, and it focuses on these Indian boarding schools. And they talk about how they strip these Indians, American Indians, Alaskan Natives, Native Hawaiians of their identities. And the report actually characterizes this treatment as systemic, militarized, and identity alteration methodologies being used against these Indian children through education, talking about things such as cutting their hair, preventing their language, family members being lost for over 150 years and so on. You know, they talk about how there were at least 19 schools, these boarding schools, federal Indian boarding schools, that account for over 500 child deaths. This is what they have approximated at this point, but they're expecting the number to rise. And as quoted in the article, he says that the these harms that were created reverberate to the present day. You know, it's an official and deliberate policy used to destroy families. And so we just have to note how today in the black community, as noted by our sister Dr. Dorothy Roberts, wrote a book called Torn Apart, How the Child Welfare System Destroys Black Families, and how abolition can build a safer world. You know, she talks about the increase, and I just think it's so important that there has been an increase in the investigations of black families, which that's traumatic and can lead to years of monitoring by these so-called child welfare agents, you know, with the threat of child removal always hanging over these families, because black children families are now twice as likely to be removed than whites. And they say a recent study found that more than half of all black children will be subject to a child welfare investigation by the time they reach 18. So just in closing, you know, we still have at the border the migrant separations. I mean, this is a common theme.
Right.
So the Houston Chronicle talked about how Central America and Mexican youth, this was just Sunday, being separated from their families at these borders, and they now they're studying the mental health trauma because these children are now having difficulty reunifying with families due to the angers and feeling of abandonment from being separated. So it's just an all-out attack and genocide, and we're seeing this in America. So I just wanted to report on that. Thank you for your time. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for yours, and much appreciated. And you know, want you to stay, keep your mic open, because we're going to get into the meat of this discussion. I just wanted to say, to dovetail off of Brother Terrence, as he commented and told us, you know, watch where you shop and what you buy. And, you know, be conscious of what you buy so you don't find yourself supporting that which makes mockery of us, that which actually hurts us economically. And I just hearing about our brother George Floyd reminded me that Brother Student Minister Rodney Muhammad and I were talking last week, and he commented on how disturbing it is that the convenience store where George Floyd was, where he was making a purchase, is where the 911 call came from. It came from that store, and we know that the clerk testified about what had occurred. But the point is, we're still shopping in that store. Black people are still going in there. And that has to become a no-no. That has to be culturally unacceptable among us as a people, that we continue to give our dimes and dollars to someone who disrespects us and treats us in a way that they would never treat a white customer.
That's right.
And for this brother to be 6 feet under the ground, dead over a $20 bill is outrage is just an insufficient term. So I'm glad you mentioned that, Brother Terrence. Let's not walk around here like Tweety Bird, just unaware. As they say, the devil is in the details. You know.
Yes. And Dr. Avon, I know we want to bring on, I guess, I did want to do, I want to dovetail on what you just said, is that What infuriates me, I was having a conversation with someone today, and I was showing them, like, when we think about George Floyd and we think about what he died from, like, let's like you just laid out, what did he die from? Like, you know, when you talk about we're not sure if that bill was legit or counterfeit, you literally had all these police come and put their knee on his neck, drag him out of his car over what? Let's analyze what you did all of that over. He didn't kill nobody. He didn't shoot nobody. He didn't get in a fight. He didn't beat nobody down. But he got videotaped with your foot, your knee on his neck to the point of death over possibly some money. And when I think about and I go back to what happened in Buffalo, this person calculated, planned out, brought guns, military weapons, killed 10 in a grocery store where it's a food desert. And when I watch police pat him down like, oh, it's a traffic stop, like, we just need to check your pockets, right? Let me check your pockets.
Right.
I'm like, you know, the thought, like, you get a call and you dragging him out of the car and he's dead, and this one has killed 10 elders, and you just want to pat him down? So when we talk about this, Dr. Ava, you know, we're going to have this good discussion. Like, it's very deep. And so let me get off there because my blood is coming up. But I also want to just thank, because we have a whole Elevated Network, and we got some people that are always here, and I just want to shout them out. Sister Valerie and Sister Georgina, they're always tweeting. Like, as soon as we say something, say something on here, Sister Georgina got on Facebook, Sister Valerie got Twitter, they got it locked, and they're repeating and sharing what we're talking about. And I would encourage others to do that, because it's not just our discussion. It's for us. It is our discussion. And we're sharing what we have gotten from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that help guide us into these elevated places. I just wanted to shout them out, and thanks for the continual and weekly support of you and this show.
Praise be to Allah. And, you know, before we go further, let's take a moment, too, because we are going to end up getting agitated and animated over what's going on. But one thing that we can take a moment to take some joy in is achievement of Black youth. And Elevated Places is so proud to announce that Brother Nasir Muhammad, the son of Sister Rona Muhammad, and the brother of Brother Amir Muhammad, is graduating from high school. The ceremony was actually scheduled for tonight, but due to weather conditions, they rescheduled it for tomorrow. And as a result of that, being like the classic Elevated Places team member, Sister Rona came on. You know, she could have just said, okay, I'm going to take a moment and relax. You know, since I don't have to produce the show tonight, I don't have to go out. But she's on here with us, and we just wanted to say to you, Sister Rona, and to your beautiful, handsome, brilliant sons, how proud we are of you and grateful. We thank Allah for this critical moment in the life and the development of our Black youth. And so we congratulate you.
Thank you so much, Sister Ava. Assalamu alaikum. Here and he heard every word.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got to say something now. He is getting older.
Yes, awesome.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to say I appreciate acknowledging my graduation on the show and appreciating my mom's hard work.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, sir. No problem.
And may Allah continue to bless you. But we're whenever we all see each other, we're going to do
yes,
something
ma'am.
For you, because that's no lightweight achievement, especially in this
yes,
time,
ma'am.
In
you.
This hour. And
that's right.
we just look forward to watching you continue to grow and develop, and you know we got your back always.
That's right. I appreciate it. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
No, that is so beautiful. And you're right. You know, I've known these young brothers since they were little children. And the time just, it's amazing how the time
Man.
Has gone by.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we congratulate Sister Rona on being able to balance all that she has had to juggle in order to give her sons the love and the support that they deserve, And so at this time, I'm very pleased, though, as I said, I wish it was better circumstances, but I can't think, Brother Terrence, of a better person, a more qualified person to help us handle tonight's subject, which is the state of America, why separation is the best and only solution, and what just happened in the state of Texas. And that is the Southwest Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Brother Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad. And we thank Allah that he's able to take time from his own busy schedule to join us tonight. Welcome, my brother. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Why, alaikum salam. You can hear me?
I certainly can. Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
All praise is due to Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, for raising the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is in power, our eternal leader. And we thank them both for not leaving us alone, believing in our midst, our brother, servant, and friend, the Messiah, the Jesus, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I thank Allah for the day that I met him. And like Roberta Flack sung, first time ever I saw your face. First time I ever beheld his face in April 1976 in person is a day and time, those 2 days I will never forget, will change the whole trajectory of my life. And I thank him for not allowing the evil accident of history to once again strike the nation of Islam, but to give us a new set of challenges. By him going on WVON and introducing to the world, which includes our enemies, our beloved executive council. We thank Allah for Minister Farrakhan, allowing Allah to use him in such a way that this is three-dimensional chess. And I don't know if I can keep up with it, but I'm just whatever he say, I'm just with it. I'm just happy to be a member of this mighty nation of Islam. And I thank you for
thank
the
you.
Invitation to be on the Elevated Places, and Brother Terrence and Sister Donna, Sister Rona, and all who make this weekly broadcast available to us and the world. And I thank Allah for Sister Pam, who is near and not far, but it's so funny to be talking to her via a radio show when we're in the same city. I just laugh every time. But I love it.
Oh, that's true, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Due to Allah.
It's off the chain. And we both share our love for Sister Tiffany and Brother Captain
yeah.
Shahid. As you said, Sister Ava, you know, that brother was, you know, he was cutting corners. Salute. It was no nonsense. You know,
right.
I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said, well, how many papers you selling? You know, I love the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, but brother, you ain't bring no guests out to the meeting. I mean, that's the kind of brother and trainer of men that we're dealing with. And
that's right.
And as Sister Pam pointed out, Sister Tiffany did go to law school here, so I got to see her in her 20s, and then she went out to California and became the wife of our brother, and of course an attorney, and fulfilling what God put in our heart to do. Yeah.
Yes,
sister, sir. Sister Minister, you know, once again, the occasion is such that it is one that we wish we had better things to talk about. But once again, we have to look at it through the eyes of Allah. I mean, there's a natural reaction to things, and then for us not to react would be unnatural. A natural reaction would be for our hearts to go out to the ones who lost their lives, their loved ones, and to salute those policemen and those law enforcement officials who did do something eventually. I'll get into that in a moment. But I want to, on behalf of the Southwest region and Nation of Islam, I don't think that I'd be overstepping my bounds to express our deep condolence and sympathy to the city of Uvalde and Texas and the people of Texas and the Southwest region and the United States and the world for what we losing these precious 19 children and those two teachers who were slaughtered. And, you know, so you're right how it affected me. It impacted me, sister. I do a weekly telephone radio show called Connect the Dots. I've been on the Pacifica Network for about 20 years now. And, sister, I started to do a commentary. I said, I can't even do a commentary, y'all. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play Love and Peace music. And what I did was I just mixed a whole hour of music for Love, Peace, Sade. I mean, you know, you name it. I was playing that because I just could not fathom what it is that we've witnessed, not only the slaughter of our elders, 10 elders in Buffalo, but 19 of our children, and then on both occasions, Brother Terrence, it is the meme that you sent me, and I need to tell you about that meme that you sent, that you put up, and I copied, and I put on my Facebook and my Instagram and my Twitter account, that meme that says mass shooting, it says media extravaganza, internet debates about gun control. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets accomplished. Back to normal, mass shooting. And it's like a circle, right? And as I looked at that meme, I thought about Billy Preston's song, Will It Go Round in Circles? And there's a hook in it. He says, Will It Go Round in Circles? He says, I've got a story, ain't got no moral. He says, let the bad guys win every once in a while. I got a story, ain't got no moral. Let the bad guys win every once in a while. Will it go round in circles? You know, will it fly high like a bird up in the sky? And this is a story that appears to have no moral because we don't seem to learn from it. You know, the moral of the story is, and usually you get the lesson, right? But in this particular case, it keeps going on and on and on and on. And I had a newspaper article where I think this was like the, I don't know, I want to say the 198th mass shooting or something like that. It was some outrageous figure in 19 weeks. There have been all of these kind of mass shootings take place, and the same thing happens over and over again. And Brother Terrence, when I posted that on Instagram, do you know I got 423,775 likes? Whoa! I said, man, I'm happy if I get 100 likes, 500 likes. You know, but that touched people. That meme touched people because that is the state of America and the unraveling of this great nation, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan pointed out. And you saw immediately when the incident was unfolding, the political partisanship that Minister Farrakhan said would be the death of America in Torchlight for America unfolding. MSNBC got their usual suspects on. Fox News got their usual suspects on. And I watched both coverages. And initially, you know, MSNBC, they went political right away. Gun control, we need to do this, that, and the other. Fox went, of course, to its thoughts and prayers. But because they are seen as more law enforcement friendly, they got sources within law enforcement, and they were a lot more factual initially. And then they turn around and accuse MSNBC of being political, while they what they did was very subtle in the way that they went political. That what they did was they brought on the Border Patrol police, one of which was an elite unit of the Border Patrol police who took down the shooter, right, who killed Samuel Rommel. And so they had two Border Patrol officials on their coverage, right? So I'm watching it, and I'm saying, yeah, you talk about how political MSNBC and the Democrats are on this. I said, but you know that you've been talking about these open borders all along, and you've been demonizing the immigrant population whose countries we have destabilized, America, not we, but America has destabilized, and caused these people to want to leave their countries because we support right-wing governments down there and in the exploitation of corporations to take advantage of the people. And so we support, America supports death squads and all kinds of stuff down there, so those people don't feel safe. And so they come in here for a better life, but they demonize them, and they've made these people, especially under this last administration, the object of American ire. So I said, oh, they think they slick. And then just talk about the epicenter of irony, Sister Dr. Ava. The NRA convention is here in Houston starting this Friday.
Good God.
And so, and I got Donald Trump is supposed to be coming here to speak. You know,
That's right. And
here's the thing. The old NRA argument of, and now I get what this is, why I put a caveat on those policemen or those people who put on the badge and uniform that did try to do something. But here's the caveat. The caveat is that now it's now coming out that they took literally 90 minutes or an hour to breach, to go in after this killer. He was in there just slaughtering our children and those teachers. And it took them an hour. And they say that some policemen went in the school and got their children out. This is the story. It's being reported by the AP. It's being reported by Texas Tribune and all of that. And it's hard to explain that, first and foremost, the gunman just walked in an unlocked door.
He walked in an unlocked door. Just before the program.
Yeah, and then he wasn't engaged.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say the father of one of the children at the school who escaped harm, but he said, my wife has to stop and show her ID and all of this every day to pick up our children.
Mm-hmm.
So how did this man just walk in unobstructed?
He walked in the back door. The false narrative that he was engaged by brave officers at first and he wounded them. That's not how it went down. He got in the school, went in the classroom, according to the latest reports, barricaded himself in. They tried to come in it, and he wounded a couple of them trying to come in the classroom, barricaded himself in there and began slaughtering the children. It took them literally an hour to go in there and finally breach and neutralize him, as they call it. So this thing has struck a nerve. Like I said, the nearly 500,000 likes on my page, I'm not proud of that, but I'm saying this thing has touched a nerve, and now they even and so now we have Mitch McConnell saying that he asked my senator, Senator Cornyn, to sit down with Chris Murphy out of Connecticut to start talking about some gun safety stuff. Now, what I feel is going to happen, we talk about George Floyd, right? The George Floyd Police Reform Act that was on the table was supposedly being negotiated by Senator Tim Scott, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, and our brother out of New Jersey, Senator Booker. And Tim Scott put up the straw man argument that the police union said, wait, we never
No. What are you talking about? People are, well, I won't endorse anything that put our police, take money away from our police. They said, wait a minute. We never said that. So he put up a straw man argument, and the same thing I predict is going to happen again. They're going to go negotiate, and then there's going to be some straw man argument they're trying to infringe on the Second Amendment. And if we got time, I'll go into all of this, that history of the Second Amendment. This is, that's, this, people walk around with AR-15s. Do you know that this young man, this man could not buy a handgun in Texas? He couldn't buy a beer in Texas unless he's 21. But he bought two AR-15 rifles, and had, they said, over 400 rounds of ammunition? And this is after, think about this, this is after the slaughter that took place in El Paso at the Walmart. And the legislature didn't go in and tighten up the gun laws. What they did was they went from gun laws that said you had to be licensed and trained to have a concealed or open handgun. What they did in this last legislature is that they said anybody 18 years old and older, no training, no license, no nothing, you can carry a weapon. And do you know that the police unions, the chiefs of police, everybody was against this bill? They passed it anyway. This is, this, let me say this. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Fall of America, he said in Fall of America on page 255, he said, the sword within and the sword without. Trouble seems to have no end. This is with the sword within and the sword without. The minister has warned us in the swan song and beyond that this war that's going on in Ukraine will metastasize and spread. All right? Sword without. And then America and Russia will clash and Europe will be a graveyard. The sword without. But there's a sword within, referring to the unraveling of a great nation that the minister laid out for us, and then we're watching it happen right now. Let me tell you something. The United States of America and the Republic of Texas was established by the sword, maintained and expanded by the sword. And as the scriptures say, he who lived by the sword will what? Die by the sword. These people got over 400 million arms in a population of 300 million people, and everybody doesn't have a gun. So who are all these people storing up these guns, and why are they storing up these guns, y'all?
Right,
think about it.
Right.
Now, I, one could understand back when they were debating the Constitution or ratifying the Constitution, you know, after they signed it and they sent it out, they had these ratification conventions all in the 13 colonies to get the document ratified. And one of the things they said, well, we're not going to ratify this if we don't, if you can't tell us that we need a Bill of Rights on this thing. So when you look at that Bill of Rights, that Second Amendment that they say, this thing has been so, I almost used the word, but it's been so, it's a lie. The way that it's been framed in the last 40 years is a lie. There's a book called The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment written by Tom Hartman. And he talks about how James Madison was tasked with writing up this, drafting this Second Amendment. And it says here on page 51 of this particular book I'm reading, he said his first draft for what became the Second Amendment said, and I'm quoting, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, a well-armed and well-regulated militia being best security for a free country. But no person religiously scrupulous of bearing arms shall be compelled to render military service in person. But Patrick Henry and George Mason, who were slaveholders, well, so was Madison, others wanted southern states to preserve the slave patrol militias independent of the federal government. So Madison changed the word country to the word state and redrafted the Second Amendment into today's form, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So there were about three reasons why they had the Second Amendment. One, they feared in fact, that there would be a war again with Britain. Britain was still was salty about their losing their colonies. That's one. Two, they wanted to make sure that they could that this new federal government that they established would not infringe on their right to have their slave patrols or their militias to put down slave insurrections. And the third one was is that they wanted to have these militias so they could put down even their rebellion of their own white people. But this, a well-regulated militia, Mr. Parker points out, that's what you got a police force, you got a National Guard, you got the Army can't operate inside the United States, but that's what you have already. So what is this everybody got a gun thing?
Precisely.
Let me tell y'all something, brothers and sisters. Why separation is necessary. You better understand that these white people got in mind that if we ever rise up, they're going to join with the police and the National Guard to put us down. They're the ones that got the weapons. They're the ones that got all of these rounds of ammunition because they thought when Barack Obama became president that they were going to all be put in FEMA camps. Now flip the script. They intend to put us all in FEMA camps. We need to wake up. But we don't need to arm ourselves. We need to separate, and we need to put our trust and faith in Master Farid Muhammad and what he taught us and what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us, because if we do not align our minds with the minister, then we're not going to be successful at all. So, I mean, there's so much on my mind, sister. You know, bring me where you want me to go, because we're in the days of Allah, brother and sister. We're in the days of requital. We're in the days of retribution. We're in the days of judgment. But also within those days is the hour. We're in the hour now. The hour of betrayal, the hour of denial, the hour of abandonment. There's one thing that there's some prophecies we cannot beat. They must be fulfilled. And then there are
That's
other
right.
prophecies that we can beat. And those are the ones of us as his disciples. What are we going to do, Sister Dr. Ava? What are we going to do, Brother Terrence? What are we going to do, Sister Pam? What are we going to do, Sister Donna? Will we betray? Will we deny? Will we abandon? Or we stand strong in the face of the persecution of the dragon that's coming? This country is unraveling right in front of our eyes. I mean, there's so much
around
going
this.
On. Oh, my God. Do you know that according to the Houston Chronicle, that these politicians that go in there talking about thoughts and prayers, that they took over, let me see, what's this figure? I think it was over $700,000 from the NRA. No, more than that. There's about 25 politicians right here in Texas that took so much money from these people, the NRA. And they will use quotes like, my heart goes out to those in the hospital receiving care and the loved ones of those who lost their lives. Come on, Senator Cornyn. When you took $583,816 from the NRA? Again, politics without economics, Mr. Farrakhan taught us, is simple without substance. And when you had the decision, Supreme Court Citizens United decision, where they made corporations have free speech and to limit their contributions and to limit their free speech. Come on, man. And so these corporations buy these people. And so where does our vote come in? And they'll think that Trump is not playing on something. He knows what he's doing. This don't think he's stupid. He knows what he's doing in manipulating the fears of the white population, who they're getting older. They're not reproducing as it says in Deuteronomy. God has struck their womb. This is why they want to end abortion. Because they know that they're being outnumbered by these people, by the darker people in this country. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Our Savior's arrived." He told us that, you know, we're not citizens. You know, in the knowledge of God Himself, He tells us the only citizens here is white. and you are not American. The only American is white. And you know what? In their minds, that's absolutely true, because we're seen only as 14th and 15th Amendment citizens. That's all. And just like they amended the Constitution to forbid the manufacture and distribution of alcohol, they could unamend us as citizens and take away our right to vote. We're the only people I know. Why do we need a Voters' Rights Act if we're citizens?
Exactly.
So what are we doing? The devil only promised, Satan only promises, Mr. Farquhar said, to deceive. And we're going to keep doing this bait and switch on us. So my brothers and sisters, you know, this what happened in this school was not only predictable, it's going to happen again. And let me say this to us very clearly, that the only thing we can't, predict is where it's going to take place and when. Because these people don't care about our children. They don't care about their children. They don't care about our children. And so if they don't care about the children, then Jesus says, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. He said, we better for you to, you know, not to offend one of these little ones. And what did he tell Peter, Sister Ava? He said, feed my sheep. You love about me? Oh, you know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. And then the last one, he said, feed my lambs. Feed them babies. Take care of them babies. A nation that can't protect itself, protect its citizens, is not a country, not a government at all. And then I'll just hit this lick and we'll go back to Uvalde if you want to. But they finally admitting about the UFOs. And they know that they cannot protect their citizens from the wheels.
That's right.
And that's why they went into closed session. They said, man, so they should have called us to testify, since we're the ones that told them about them in the first place. So anyway, but I'll go back to this part, sister, you know. So anything you want to take me, because I'm just so full right now. I'm glad that you gave me this outlet. This is therapy. I feel like I'm in a study group right now. Ask me some questions, because I'm like, come on, let's have a study group right now. Let's have an early study group. Come on.
Yeah, we're going to open these lines. And, you know, I do want to just draw a quick connection between, and again, going to why we have no choice but to separate. The gun manufacturers are similar to the vaccine manufacturers. They have almost blanket immunity from lawsuits and from liability.
Wow.
And going back to the point about these military-style assault weapons, they have no other purpose except to kill.
That's right.
And to kill multiple people at the same time. It's not as though they have some other function. There is no other function. And so it's not an accident that all of the policies and restrictions and mandates emanating from the U.S. government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic are all part of the overall agenda of depopulation. So that if we can't vaccinate you, and the news is coming out that many, many more Americans resisted it, many people, a very significant percentage of people in this country never went back for that second dose of the mRNA vaccine. And an article I did in the Final Call back in 2021, based on an interview that the former VP for research for Pfizer, Michael Yeadon, had done with a media outlet, he said that the second was more dangerous than the first, and that the boosters would be more dangerous than the initial vaccines. And so now, and all that to say, my husband and I were talking about the fact that See, all of this closing down and isolation of youth and children having to stay inside, and really the culture was already dominated by these video games, but it became dominant in the lives of young people that age who already don't have proper parenting. You had the destruction of the institution of marriage. So we're in the second generation of people growing up with no idea of what a family unit is in the traditional sense, you know, with the father in authority and being the provider, the breadwinner, and the protector of the family, and the mother being the caretaker and manager of the household. So you look at these two 18-year-olds, one of them engages in an act that's race-based because he's shaped and molded in this. And as we know from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this is the nature of the made race. Just like as you brought out, Brother Dr. Haleem, the U.S. government officials admitting that the U.S., what they call, have been calling unidentified flying objects, have a very specific identity and purpose. And so now what is coming to pass is this nation is reaping what it has sown. And so you have these killers, and they are not immune to them. You know, here in Chicago, shootings used to be confined to the so-called hood. And there were two specific communities in the on the south and west side of Chicago where most of the shootings and murders took place. One is Auburn Grisham, where the Final Call is located, and the other one is Englewood. But now on the so-called Gold Coast, Lincoln Park, where the super wealthy Caucasians live on the lake, they're having shootings, carjackings, you name it. It doesn't matter, but this nation is reaping what she has sown, and we were given out of the love and mercy of God a divine plan to escape this. And the central part of that plan is to separate ourselves, to distance ourselves. It's not a spook God. The mother plane and the smaller bombers that we call baby planes are real, as the U.S. government's finally saying. They've known it from day one. But we're getting to the point you can't hide it. And then lastly, you look at the God and the havoc he is wreaking with the weather.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have a war that you talked about very well from our teachings. See, as the minister called this time, he called this the end of the end.
Right.
Because this war with Russia represents the coming in of Armageddon, and that's where we are right now. So with the gas prices, because there's no satisfying these people. Now we have monkeypox, and the United States ordering millions of doses of monkeypox vaccine while scientists are out here saying, stop all this misinformation and disinformation.
Right.
This is not a pathogen that has ever had any significant impact anywhere. First of all, it's endemic to Africa, to the African continent. And I think there have been three cases in the United States. But they are so high off of the response they did get in terms of behavioral control in this country, that this is not going to let up. They're going to be continuing, as you said, Brother Ministers, continuing efforts. if we're looking for a so-called return to normal, which I don't know why any black person would want return to normal, but we're witnessing and we're living in a rapidly deteriorating institution, and its time has been up since 1914. But we know people are told they're evicted and they don't leave until they're put out, and that's Satan.
Right.
Just because his time was up didn't mean he was going to sit down. No, he went to work to take, as he promised Allah in the Holy Quran, he's going to take as many as he can.
That's
right. Exactly what he's doing. So, yes, sir, Brother Dennis,
yeah, I just want to jump in here because you all, you know, I don't know if I took a whole paragraph of notes of all that y'all dropped. I just wanted to go back and highlight something that our brother, Suda Minister, Brother Halim, Abdul Halim said that I just wanted to touch. He mentioned Torchlight for America nearly 30 years ago. And I'm just saying, bringing that up is because what we're talking about, what we're saying, the minister has already talked about. And it just kind of reinforced what I said earlier about continue to hear the words of the minister. So we don't need to have to be, when people ask, what is he saying about it? He has already instructed us on what to do and what will happen. And also, it's very significant that I don't want us to gloss over, and I know we're not, but it's very interesting after all this happened that the NRA would have their convention in Texas, in Houston, Texas, where all of this voting rights, gun laws are there, and Trump is going to be there. And as he said, and we got to be very clear, Trump didn't just roll up and be goofy and get elected president. He ain't just wasn't no goofball that just got elected. You know, as they used to, we say, you know, the minister talked about how Obama was duly selected before elected. I would say the same thing myself about Trump and what is going on and what is being planned. And I'm glad that Brother Halim laid out all of the congressional people that are doing this prayers, but are taking money from the same people that are supporting not even enforcing gun laws. So he said, we don't want you to enforce no gun laws, just keep taking this money. And we have to know that because these are the same folks that stand up and want people's votes in these midterms, but they're still supporting the people that are allowing weapons to be put in people's hands to kill us. And that's why when he was talking about that meme, and I just want to go back over it, when we have a mass shooting, there's a media extravaganza, so all this news comes out, and then we immediately go to thoughts and prayers, and then this whole debate, which we're seeing now on social media about gun debates, but then when it comes out, there's nothing actually done. And like you said, Dr. Ava, why do we want to go back to normal? Because nothing actually changes in our normal is more about oppression, killing, and death in this country. And the discussion goes, well, we don't want thoughts and prayers, which people have said. We want more legislation. And I just go back to Michael Brown in 2014 when all the civil rights organizations got together, and the answer to the killing of Michael Brown was body cams. Body cams. And that was the pushback then. We want body cams. And body cams ain't saved nobody since they was pushing for body cams. So be very mindful and look at what our leadership, not their leadership, but our leadership is going to be pushing around this as though what they're going to say is going to be a solution to stop the violence that, as you said, Dr. Ava, is in the nature of our open enemy to kill us.
Brother Terrence, you remember when I spoke in Baton Rouge at Alton Sterling's funeral?
Oh, yes, sir.
You remember? Hey, and you know, I said for the, all of them, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Sharpton, Cedric Richmond, who was, I said, man, we need to repent for integration.
That's right. You said
we didn't repent for integration. I said, desegregation was right. I mean, we should be able to go wherever our money and our character can take us. I said, but for us to abandon our own institutions, our own community, I said, look, I said, Arthur Sterling should be able to
to not only he should own the store he was selling the CDs in front of, and I went through the whole thing of following the logistical supply chain to being able to produce the very plastic that the CDs and DVDs is made out of. We've got to get away. Look, these people, there is almost like a total blanket of insanity over this country. Since they even now, those lockdowns, what those lockdowns did to our children and to everybody, really.
Everybody.
And I say to the beloved believers, please attend your study group. Please, I'm pleading with you. If you want to understand what's going on right now, beloved brothers and sisters, listen to your brother. I'm appealing to you. Mixed feelings and controversy, how do you handle it? Prophets, in that very first study guide, the prophets were mocked, but the leadership was arrogant, haughty. They were just so bent on having their way. They called the prophets names. They called them poets. They called them insane. They called them madmen. They called them liars. They called them skillful enchanters. You know, every evil, wicked thing they've ever said about Minister Farrakhan, you can read it in the narrative of the Holy Quran. In fact, we're walking through the Holy Quran right now, brothers and sisters. Please go to your self-improvement study group or log on to the national one, but you must go because we really have to follow the footsteps. This is something the minister said to me, like on May the 10th, I had a conversation with him right before his birth anniversary. And he said to me that he was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked to him about two mountains. And there was a wire between these two mountains, and every man that tried to walk across that wire fell. But the last man that made it across was Muhammad. He told me that if we follow in the noble footsteps and perfect footsteps of Muhammad, we will not fall into the abyss. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to follow the minister, to continue to listen to our Minister Farrakhan. Brothers and sisters, if you really want to know the sunnah of Minister Farrakhan, not only is it in closing the gap, but them study guides is his sunnah. That is his sunnah. Just like we read Saeed Muslim and Saeed Bukhari and all of them, look, that the tweets are his hadith. Some of his hadith and the millions of words he's spoken, we can feed on them forever. But I'm telling you, them study guides, everything we can think of is in those study guides. We must focus on Friday study group. Even if we're in mosque, we got to make study group the fulcrum by which we actually operate our week. That Friday, you talk about Juma prayer, but when we talk about congregation, there's things that you and I can do on our own. We can study on our own. We can pray on our own. But there's times Allah orders us to be in congregation. That's Juma. But Allah's man ordered us today to not miss study group. Brothers and sisters, I'm appealing to you, please. I'm not too big to go to study group. I go to my study group here in Houston, and we chop it up. What are you doing on Friday night? What are you doing on Wednesday night? I mean, when we first came to the mosque, you and I would not miss a meeting. We didn't ride around listening to music. We rode around with a thing called cassette tapes, listening to Minister Farrakhan's speeches. If one of us went to one of his speeches, say, in St. Louis, Brother Terrence, and the rest of us didn't go, but we sent somebody, the first thing we'd ask him is, you got the tape? Do you got the tape?
That's right.
You know?
Did you get the tape?
So, brothers and sisters, the internet has made it easy for us to pull up Minister Farrakhan's words. Digital final call made it easy for us. So, look, I don't want to – I'm just excited. I thank you for allowing me to have this therapeutic release and to talk to our nation and to even to our enemies. And let me say this to the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center. I know they monitor your show, so I might as well say it to them since they put me and you on their hit list. Let me tell y'all something, ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center.
Come on.
You know, you know, the minister is the one that can take on Satan, so I'm going to throw a rock from behind him. But I'm going to tell you like this. What you're doing in poisoning the minds of the people, saying that we're a hate group, and all of these wicked things you're saying, you're hoping that somebody will do to us what these people are doing. That's what you hope. And then you will say, we didn't have nothing to do with that. But that's, you know what Joseph Goebbels did to your people. They told a lie over and over and over again. Till Jews and gypsies and homosexuals and Jehovah Witnesses were disappearing and been put in labor camps and concentration camps. And the people didn't even know that their neighbors were gone. And in some cases, they were in these concentration camps. And in the town right next to the concentration camp, they didn't know until those concentration camps were liberated what was going on right there under their nose. You're hoping that somebody will do something to us. And even more sinister, Sister Ava, they're hoping that somebody black will do something to us so they can really wash their hands. But I'm telling you right now, your plot will not work. God is in control of this whole thing. And what you wish on us, Allah will give to you. So that is my clear warning to them. In the name of Allah, leave us alone, leave our children alone, leave our women alone, leave our elders alone, and leave the nation of Islam alone. We've been faithful warners to you through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we put this world on notice. We just want to get away from you. Give us a good send-off. Give us a good send-off. Give us a divorce, right. A good package, and let us go. And support us like we support Israel that's over there stealing the Palestinians' land and storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque. What's wrong with y'all? But anyway, I digress. Well, go ahead, sister. Let's open up the phone lines. Right.
We're going to get to these phone calls. And I did a lecture a few years ago called The Sin of Integration because that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. I saw a clip of it on Muhammad and Friends that was hosted by our late brother Munir Muhammad.
Yes.
And I tried desperately to get the clip. He said he couldn't find it. But I witnessed on a video the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying that at a lecture. He said integration is a sin. And so when you commit a sin, you're breaking God's law. You're transgressing God's law. You're past man's law. So, yes, we have to repent for that. And the minister said that, you know, first of all, his presence is what's allowing us, because it's the presence of mercy that allows us to even be in a position to repent. But that's what we should be doing now. We should be in a state of repentance. And just to dovetail on the, and I'm glad what you said about the study group. See, a lot of people, especially if they haven't engaged, they don't understand that a key part of this is the exchange with one another. We're members of the tribe of Shabazz, who are undergoing the final stages of a 66 trillion year purge of the Satan of self. And the minister said in Study Guide 10, it is in the circles where you expose your thoughts. It's like you tell, if you're not feeling well, you have to tell your doctor your symptoms you're experiencing. If you hide it and lie, you're not going to get a proper response.
Right.
You tell your lawyer, okay, before you go to court, tell your lawyer everything so that your lawyer doesn't get hit with the shock of something about you being brought out in court by the adversaries putting a witness on the stand to testify. See, throw your own faults out there. But it's not just for that. It's because we need one another's insight. We need one another's perception. The minister told the executive council that Saturday before we went on VON, that each of us has a piece of that loaf of bread.
Yes.
And he said, you didn't bake the bread, nor did I. He said, Allah, God baked that bread.
Mm.
And each of you have been given a piece or a fraction. And you, none of you can do anything without the rest. I don't care about your title or who you are or think you are in some department or over this or that. That doesn't matter. You, each and every one of you, are appointed by me on the authority of Allah and His Christ. And you have to handle your piece, but also respect the fact that you just have a fraction. So no matter how awesome your, and this is me now, no matter how awesome your piece is, that's what it is. It's a piece.
Peace.
Come on.
And if we don't take part in that exchange of thought that occur on Friday night, then we're missing out on a key part of our ability to survive this. Because this is about us. You're not just learning what the path is. You're learning what to do about you and for you. Because none of us can be purged of the Satan of self except by us. This is internal. We're gods, children of the Most High God. And nobody can reprogram us but us. We can be given and offered the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But we have to correct whatever is going on in our own brain that is essential to us being acceptable to God. It's not just escaping the devil. It is us, ourselves, becoming acceptable. And this man among us, Louis Farrakhan, is the prime example of how you do this and what the end product looks like. As we were able to walk through his life with him during the Swan Song, a whole series of tests and trials that
right.
all of us are undergoing now. Nobody is exempt. He said no believer is exempt from this study.
Nobody.
So you're not going to get the bell. He's not going to hit you with a belt. He's not going to put you out the mosque. He's just saying if you're a believer, you're in it. Because believers are not exempt. Hypocrites are exempt. Disbelievers are exempt. The made people are exempt. But if you're a believer, you're not exempt. And now it's on Zoom. To Brother Minister's point, see, you talk about, we don't even see mercy that's in our face. This is the God doing everything possible to save us.
That's right. That's right.
So you can't even go on your phone and log in to we have one at headquarters. There's several of them around the country to exchange with people you say are your brothers and sisters, but we exempt ourselves. And none of us are perfect, all of us. That's why we look at our prayer. Please grant me protection, not against my fault, all my faults.
All of them.
I got a stack of them. And I know that God is tired of me because I come back with the same ones.
Lord.
And I was looking through the Swan Song today and where he said, you know, there comes a time when the God gets tired of you. He's not an overcoat for you to put on and then take off when you don't need it. And eventually, that which you keep turning to,
that's right.
He's going to leave you there. In fact, he's going to help turn you to it. You go on and stay over there since the minister say, you know, you praying to the weed as the Lord of the worlds. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. You stay right over there. But anyway, I did what you did, Brother Minister. I'll digress. So
you'll see that this gun control or gun safety thing is going to veer into mental health. That's all that goes. If they get anything out of it, it's going to be about mental health. We already got that. I'll just close this point with this. We have gathered together since the rebuilding of Nation of Islam, literally millions of people in meetings. The meanest of the streets, we put together gangs, we put together in the same location, and we have not had hardly any incidents that you can point to. A million men, nearly 2 million men on the mall, not a fight, not an arrest related to
nothing.
That. The mall was cleaner. The mall was, the man said, his name was Sam Jordan, I think his name was, that was a special assistant to Marion Barry. He said, I was at that meeting, he said the mall was cleaner when we left than was the way we found it. Look here, brother and sister. Come on, man. So if y'all really want to solve this problem, invite the nation to the table. We'll be glad to help you. But if not, then let us go. So we can go and make the nation our own for the glory of God. We got to bounce.
All right,
beloved. We got to get up out of here. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry?
We still got time?
Yeah, we got a little bit. I got this line open for Brother Louis Ali, the man we call the separator.
Louis!
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful, powerful show, Dr. Ava. And I do bear witness that it is definitely therapy. It's therapeutic to listen to. How y'all doing?
All praises due to Allah.
Can you hear me, Dr. Ava?
Yes, sir.
I hear you, Brother Lewis.
Loud and clear.
Okay. I wanted to... something that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said on WBON. When a caller called in and she said, I'm paraphrasing, that she was tired of members of the Jewish community saying that Minister Farrakhan was an anti-Semite, an anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And she went on to say, because you all believe in the same God. And the minister, in his eloquent way, he highlighted and pointed out that, no, we don't believe in the same God.
That's right.
He said that was the problem with the Jews 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
When he got into a confrontation and an argument with him, he told them he was a man that had told them the truth, but they wanted to kill him. And he went on to tell them that they were of their father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And I started really thinking about how the minister said, we don't have the same God. See,
we believe
that God is a man, and we believe that he came in person, and we believe that the time now is for us to separate from God's enemy. See, they're not just our enemy. They're God's enemy. And so the more and more I thought about the minister hitting like that, saying, no, we don't have the same God. See, that's where all the conflict is, because we're trying to make something fit that don't fit. We don't have the same God. And we would like to be free to worship our God. Question, can we be free to worship our God under their authority? And the answer is emphatically no. So we need some land in a territory to call our own. Now, it's real interesting to me that our God goes to the man and he makes the man into a man. But their God, the devil, likes to sliver up to women and try to bring women off the path of God and man. So I've been looking at this. We don't have the same God, so we don't need to waste any more time trying to get them to understand us. They're not going to understand us. What we need to do is separate from them. And that's the reason why I love what you preach and teach from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan, Dr. Ava, and what we teach is separation. Separation is a form of repentance. And Allah said, Minister Farrakhan pointed out, that we wouldn't be punished as long as we're in a state of repentance. And I heard Sister Donna say she want to stay in a state of repentance. You know, she does that show.
Right.
You know, and she's helping us find the path of
building our promised land.
Building our promised land, you see. And I really, I know that I need the therapy, Dr. Ava Muhammad. That's the reason why I listen every Thursday, whether I call in or not. And I want to get back to these separation tours and us to really focus on what we're doing for ourselves in these different cities to separate and bring our people together and get away from the devils. Now, last point, for years I said we were under a militant homophile assault. Did you see how that young man was dressed in Texas, Minister Abdul Halim? Did you see the pictures of him? He had a dress on and lipstick, and he's a murderer, see? And the thing of it is that they're anti-Christ, anti-man, anti-sexual,
exactly.
And they don't love God. We're different. We have to get away from it. So I just wanted to call in and also want to give a shout-out to Brother Nasir Muhammad down in ATL, Sister Rona's son, for graduating. But I'm really enjoying the show. And may Allah bless y'all. But maybe you could speak to it, Dr. Ava Muhammad, about us not having the same God. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you, Brother Lewis. Well, you know, we're at the culmination of, 90, going to 92 years?
Right.
Since the God came. And just like the wheel, the neither the Honorable Elijah Muhammad nor the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have withheld the fullness of what they've been given at any point. And there just comes a time when the mouth of the Lord closes as far as that people are concerned. And in this case, as the minister has taught us, you know, there are three rebels in the hells of North America. It's a correctional facility the size of 2,000 by 3,000 miles. And see, we're all inmates in hell, and we committed different offenses, but. You know, who you did the crime with isn't going to be who you do the time with. You generally go out here and rob some banks, get busted, get 25 years. You're not going in the cell with your boy that robbed the bank with you. You will run into somebody you never saw in your life, and they go out of their way to try to make sure they put people together who have a natural dislike or enmity, you know, for each other. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he saw this continent when it was all over would be divided into thirds. It would be the black man, the red man, and the brown man would share this continent. The Caucasian wasn't even in the picture. The minister told them that there's one place they can go on the planet for whatever remaining time they have before they just go extinct by nature, because they're made. They have a time to be here. They don't even have the biological, let alone the spiritual makeup to continue. But the only place they'll be permitted is to be is the is Europe. That's the only place. They're going to be, whatever's left of them is going to be kicked out of everywhere else. And I think you read it earlier, Brother Dr. Halim, from the messenger, that Europe would be a graveyard. And I think when he spoke on May the 2nd at the end of Ramadan was when the minister said, remember he said France, he said he couldn't recall if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, France may escape or will escape.
Right.
But either way, it's the only European nation that has a chance to escape. Mm-hmm. But that will be a graveyard. And so all that to say, you can look at the two people and see we don't worship the same God.
No.
I mean, our behavior is so polarized, we're so unalike, that it's baffling to me that black people, many of our people, are still deaf, dumb, and blind, but now they're choosing to be that. They're making a conscious, deliberate choice to stay with God's enemy. So let them go on and go with them.
Well,
but,
that's what the messenger said.
Yeah.
That's what he said. You can have them. Them that don't want to go. What about them that don't want to leave? You can have them. You know.
And that's in the Muslim program.
Yeah.
We want our people to choose. I think it's point number 5. He said he wants every black man and woman to be able to choose. And he's saying that from two perspectives. He's saying to white people, don't hold my people, let them decide. But he's also letting them know, we don't want, you don't come with us kicking and screaming. Because we don't need that in our life.
Right.
We got
to have
issues.
The freedom to accept or reject. That's right. We want every black man and woman to have the freedom to accept or reject
that's
being separated from the same message and the
same land. So we're not a cult. We're not going to make anybody. We don't make anybody do anything. If you leave us, we don't follow you. In fact, sometimes we'll look up 5 years later. Anybody seen Brother Joe? Well, we get in trouble with each other for not being on top of making sure we're somewhere around, because we believe in freedom, a full and complete freedom.
Right.
We offer you the teachings, and if you accept it, you submit yourself to a set of laws that you have accepted to submit to.
Right.
And if you decide you no longer want to do that or you can't do that, then our way of accountability is to dismiss you from our circle. That's what we do. Like Shabazz was told when he told the scientists, I'm going to make a man that can conquer the beasts of the jungle. Yeah, okay, you're not going to do that here. They voted him down. He said, I'm doing it anyway. You're not going to do it here. So take your family and your followers and go on into East Asia. It's like Michael told Tom Hagen, take your wife and your mistress and go on up to Lake Tahoe or wherever you are. Arena. You know, go ahead. You don't have to sit around me. Well, what are you going to do, Mike? You going to kill everybody? No, just my enemy.
We don't
hate nobody.
That's right.
But don't
run up on us.
Because it's not us. It's not us you're running up on. If it was, it would be easy.
It's like a mouse trap. We're like cheese in a mousetrap, and they don't see it. We look like easy picking. We look like easy picking.
That's right.
Yeah, the wise among them know who we are. They know who we are.
Well, that's why
they
haven't made the move, the big move. Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the FBI, and they said, well, this plane, this wheel, and all these drawings and, you know, when they stole his files, took his files out of his abode when
took
he was arrested.
Took the blackboard. Took the blackboard.
Yeah.
What is this?
That's right.
and they said,
well, when is this? That's right. And they said, when is this thing going into action? He said, when you make a move. And some people may say, well, they've made a move. No, they haven't. They've been picking us off 1, 2, 10, 100 at a time. See, we haven't even positioned ourselves for them to find it necessary to make the move. We're failing the God. We're failing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're failing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because we're non-responsive to their directives. We keep waking up every day trying to find an oasis among white people. But if we would do and follow the Muslim program and move into a territory of our own and raise our flag, that will force them to make a move because they're scared. They're scared of what's up there. Are you kidding me? You think they'd let 1.8 million black men gather when it was against the law for three?
Come on.
They know who he is.
And they didn't fly over or bring the tanks out or what hindered them?
They
knew. Think about it.
They
That's
knew.
Right.
They've been keeping. They've been keeping the secret. They've been keeping the secret for decades. They've known about it. They've had over 400 encounters that they told us about. See, there was an open hearing, and there was a closed hearing.
That's right.
See, I want to know. I want to know what they know in the closed hearing. What they said in the closed hearing.
That's right. That's right.
See, I don't care about what you say in the public because they be full of double talk. But when they went in behind them closed doors and those people had special clearance, staff members and those Congress people who are on those committees, they have special clearance. And them military people, Department of Defense, Undersecretary, and the man that's over Naval Intelligence went in there and said, look here, man, these things right here, they defy physics. We don't know what we're dealing with here. Do you think it's a foreign government? No. No. Ain't nobody got this technology. We already know. We spied on them. So we know what they got, what they don't have.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that on 60 Minutes, man. So we know what everybody's got. None of them got. Nobody on this planet has that.
Got this. You know? You think they're from outer space? I don't know. But whatever it is, they're flying over our military bases.
What is their fastest speed? 2,500 miles per hour?
I don't know what it is.
That one fighter jet they have, it might even be 3,000 or 4,000, but what is that to 13,000 miles per hour?
Man, that's standing still. That's running with combat boots on, trying to beat Usain Bolt with combat boots on. That ain't going to work, you know.
Like the Flintstones going up against the Jetsons.
There you go.
Can't do it.
But you know,
there you go. That's a better analogy.
but you know, family, if you think about it, it is, as the Quran says, that on that day the devil will say, see? Now, they laughed at us. They clowned us about the UFO. They clowned us about the mother plane. They clowned the minister about his experience being taken to the wheel and what was revealed to him. And now, you know, the white man's admitting, yeah, you laughed about how to eat to live. You stole bits and pieces of it. Now you call it intermittent fasting. I mean, what else you going to admit? What else are you going to admit?
Everything.
And by that time, it's going to be too late for our people.
Yeah.
But he does it in his movies.
And that's how we know we're at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does it in his movies, Independence Day. He's telling his people what's going on and telling us, too, but we're not listening.
Yeah.
Like you said, beloved.
That's right.
And that's why I appeal to us to get back to basics, and we go back to Brother Shahid, Captain Shahid, and let's get back to those basic fundamental teachings that we have, and let's dig deeper into them, but let's not stray away from them. Let's not add to, because when we add to, we take away from. But that does not mean that we have to sit there and just recite it by rote. We recite it and analyze it and break it down and apply it in the context that we're in.
That's right.
You know, like Torchlight for America, we're coming up to the 30-year anniversary of it in 2023. But all you got to do is take away the statistics. But look at the principles, right? The minister gives us a public policy position where he talks about rape. I mean, he talks about abortion. He said we shouldn't have that kind of, you know, abortion on demand. But in cases of rape, incest, and when a woman's life is in danger, these are the exceptions. We already there. They're arguing about that now. And the last point I make on that piece, Sister Ava, this sends chills up my spine when they finally started, they leaked this draft of this decision. I thought to myself, I said it in my lecture, I said, oh, Allah, what if they'd had abortion on demand in 1932? Where would we be right now? Oh, Allah, thank you. Thank you for protecting the womb of the minister's mother so that he could be here with us. Thank you, Allah.
That's right.
I said that to the minister, and he said he thanked Allah for my mother and father and the womb that produced me. He's just so humble.
Yes,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. But anyway, okay, Sister Ava.
We're down to 13 minutes. So we're going to take Brother Hoyle is on from Memphis.
Come on, Hoyle.
I smell like
Brother Abdul Halim and your beautiful show, Connected Dots, and Sister Ava, Sister Pamela, and all the Terrence and all the superstars on there. And congratulations to Sister Rona's son for graduating. I want to give her that. Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Halim, I know you mentioned earlier at the show, and I know this was kind of strange, and I thought about it too, that it was 91 minutes, the police went in there. I think they were, begging the police to go in there. And they were saying they were too scared to go in because the onlookers were trying to urge the police to charge in. And one father tried to go in there and they stopped the father. So I'm just thinking about what's going on here. And if you go back, Brother Dr. Aleem, they said that one of the brothers that died in I think it was Buffalo, the brother had an invention of a car made from water. Think about that.
Wow.
Was a policeman. Yeah, he was working on a car that ran by water. He was on the news. We're the only hope. You know, we have the solution, but like Sister Ava was saying, which is so beautiful, they don't want to make a move. And I was listening, and this is kind of funny, I was listening to the minister on Final Call Radio, and he was saying, if God killed all white folks, Negroes would be mad. That's kind of laugh. He said, Negroes would be mad at God, you know. So, I mean, we're holding up like Sister Ava without our inability to move and listen. So we're like a frog in a pot, you know. So I pray a lot that, you know, he said the word won't get us. It'll be a whipping. So I just pray we survive all of this. And, we were talking about the, our nature. And the minister said this. He said, in your vision of a new nation to come, will black Christians be allowed alongside Muslims? The minister said there will not be any distinction between Christian and Muslims in the new nation to come, for the new nation is the new kingdom of God. And the only thing that will separate us is our unwillingness to submit our will to do here. So, like you said, we have two different natures, but, you know, we've just been turned into black-white people, you know. And the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Nation of Islam Minister Louis Farrakhan are trying to, you know, get us back to our original nation. you know, our original thought pattern and original way of Kingdom of God. But beautiful show. Keep up the good work, Dr. Aline Muhammad and Sister Ava. And I'm going to let somebody else talk. I know we don't have too much time, but may Allah bless you all. And let's read that final call and let's build our nation for our people. Assalamu alaikum. Beautiful show.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Fisherman. Appreciate you and all the work that you do in this mission. So we're going to now, I wanted to hear from, because she's been on the line a while, Sister Donna Muhammad, because she's our moderator of Building Our Promised Land. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Donna.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Student Minister Ava Muhammad, Brother Student Minister Haleem Muhammad, and the Elevated Places staff. I'll be brief. Thank you for the opportunity to call in. But I was thinking about something, a post that I just saw this evening. There was a man outside of a school today, and a parent called up to the school and asked about him because she saw him standing there. Well, it was just a black man who decided I needed to come and secure the school. So he was there because of what happened in Uvalde, and he took it upon himself to stand there for security. And so I thought in terms of what the minister said in making our communities a safe and decent place to live. And as we move towards separation, there are things that we can do right now that we can take to protect our community. And we know that they're going to continue to battle over the gun issues. You know, Student Minister Haleem has already went over all of that. But what can we do? The men can stand up. They can make presence seen. Because that's a deterrent. Because when I heard the story, when I read a news article today, they interviewed two of the children that were in there at the shooting. One little girl got killed because how the police handled it. They were going through the hallway and they called out, does anybody need help? And the little children were hiding. And one yelled out, yes, we need help. Of course they're going to yell out.
Oh, my
child.
God.
And the shooter heard her, ran across the hall and shot her. And another little girl, she saw her the two teachers that got shot, they were protecting the children. And the teacher had a phone, and she grabbed the phone from her and dialed 911. But then she had to pretend she was dead and lay down, and she laid on top of a classmate who was still alive but shot. And she had to lay there while that child stopped breathing eventually. All while they're outside, not going in. So I'm saying, you know, what is our takeaway? What can we do? Because that spirit of protectiveness should be rising up. And we should see men in front of schools all over the place right now. Everybody has some kind of time somewhere. Somebody has time that they can take, and that removes us from the back-and-forth battle of the gun, because that's going to be an issue. But what can we do? What will we do? What will be the takeaway for us? So that's all that I wanted to share, because even here in Memphis, we had a soft lockdown in the high school because they found a gun on a student in a backpack right now, one of our high schools right here in Memphis today. So that's my question now. What are we going to do?
That's right.
I thank you for
that's
the opportunity.
That's the challenge.
This has been very informative, educational, uplifting as usual. And look forward to the flyer. Everybody will see the flyer, but we will have our next Project Separation on Tuesday, May 31st. And we're going to be dealing with the school environment but from a different perspective. So I thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Beautiful, beautiful call. Let's see if we can, down to 5 minutes, but Sister Marguerite's been waiting almost an hour. We got to get her in and get a couple minutes. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Marguerite.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava and Dr. Aline. One of the comments that you, yes, sir, you reminded me of was this UN Agenda 21 that I came across about 20 years ago. And in the UN agenda, their plan, they need to have America turn over their weapons like they did Australia. And as soon as they got the weapons out of the hands of the Australians, they locked them down like Nazis. So this looks like to be part of their end game, is to get the guns out of the hands of the American public, and then they can do what they want. So when you look at false flags, because the one thing that alerted me was this school was very unsecure. Now, my kids have been out of school for 15 years, and their elementary school was locked down. You couldn't get in. And now you're living in this day and time, and he just walks in the school.
It seems
like a setup. It seems like a setup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
And they held off because the more children that die, the more of an impact it would make. They don't care about your children, my children, nobody's
children. That's right. Say that. That's exactly right.
That's the point. That's the point.
Thank you, Sister Marguerite.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Brother Halim, we're down to about 3 minutes, but I wanted to have you make a comment, closing comment.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. Once again, sisters, it's always an honor to be on the program, and I got to reciprocate that. But I have to tape yours before Wednesday because I know you'll be in executive council meeting. My show airs on Wednesday, but we're gonna have to do an interview or something, and then you got to come down here, and we owe you a town hall meeting on separation, and we'd love to host you and have you teach in our mind.
We were planning that COVID thing.
May Allah bless you and Brother Darius and the girls, and give everyone my love and my guns again. May Allah bless each and every one of us. Keep the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in prayer and one another in prayer, and pray for the family, Brother Shahid, and all the believers around the country. So again, thank you for the opportunity. May Allah bless you as I greet you all in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Brother Minister Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad, the Southwest Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so as we, as Brother closed out with the message to Sister Tiffany, the wife of our beloved brother Shahid Muhammad, and our prayers are with the family. The service will be this Saturday in Los Angeles, California, and will be conducted by student minister Abdul Malik. The West Coast Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I really, all of the callers, all of those who listened in via blogtalkradio.com/elevated places, I want to thank Sister Rona Muhammad, our executive producer, and again, love and congratulations to Brother Nasir Muhammad for achieving the milestone of his graduation from high school, and I hope tomorrow's celebration is wonderful. I want to thank Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, and of course, there's nothing like my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and all of you. Thank you, Sister Donna Muhammad, our moderator, for building our promised land. And may Allah bless each and every one of us to maintain our spiritual and mental equilibrium, our balance. Study guide number 4 is entitled The Struggle for Balance. This is something that continues throughout life, but because we are born and alive during something that only happens every 50,000 years, which is a universal thing, this is a particular strain on the spirit and the mind. So let's be friends and brothers and sisters of one another. May Allah bless us with love. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.